Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by somebody on the other side of the world. It's Wednesday for me. It's Thursday morning for him. Fabian Pateau, welcome to the show.
Hey, Colin. Thanks for having me, my man.
Man, thanks for joining us all the way from tomorrow, Australia. I appreciate it.
The land down under, man. But we're ahead of you guys, so
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Ahead of us in time, and from my experience there in fashion, you guys were so far ahead when I was down there. You had already gone back to mullets and neon.
Yeah, and the mustache as well.
And the mustache. Yeah, I think you brought back Movember or created Movember. I don't know. There was a pretty strong surge coming out of Australia.
Huge movement, man. And obviously with about a month to go before it. So I'll get my Mexican mo happening when I grow mine. So
I've never been able to make it grow it farther out than this. If you're listening, it's not that impressive. This could be like 3 months growth. It's like, come on, man.
Damn.
Yeah. I think it just started because everybody there already had mustaches and they're like, let's grow a different mustache in November. That would be a fun game. Let's see if we could raise some money for that. What do we want to raise money for?
Yeah, it's so cool, man. There's always a trend happening, especially here in Melbourne where I'm located. It's you don't have to go far. I think this is where you were based as well, wasn't it? In Melbourne.
You don't have
to go far for to find a trendy outfit or a good coffee.
That is one thing that set the tone for coffee for me for the rest of my life was living in Australia. I was sort of I'll drink a pot of coffee kind of guy for my entire life. Then I lived there for a year and I came back a total coffee snob because everywhere you go, even in the tiniest little cafe, if there's a corner store that sells coffee, they have a barista that's better than most baristas here in Vancouver.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's massive.
Yeah. It's like, totally ruined any of the mainstream coffee stores for me. I can't go there anymore because you get accustomed to a certain level, like a standard.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
My wife still gives me shit because I'm a coffee snob about it.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to one of those bigger chains, it's typically for the Wi-Fi. And you got a bit more space that when you go to those, the real hustling places here, it's hard to have a business meeting because there's just so many people.
It's so jammed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get your coffee from the good place and then you take off to the major chains.
100%. And there's so many good coffee shops in Melbourne and like Sydney as well. And other way, if you're in Australia and you have good coffee shops, I'm sure they're great as well. These are just the places I have experience.
Yeah.
Funny that we ended up steering the conversation here because today we're basically talking about the most Australian sales podcast ever. How do we turn sort of coffee meetings into dollars? This is something that I don't know how many coffee meetings I've had that have turned into nothing but a waste of time and a cost of a coffee. And so, you know, when Fabi and I were talking about how do we, you know, what are some things we can do to help, you know, teach people one of the cool sort of hacks, you know, on how to create, you know, deals out of nowhere. This is one of the ones that sort of that was the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer amount of time, it's so easy to say yes to a coffee. And then you're both sitting there like, am I here to sell you something? Are you going to sell me something? Like, you know,
exactly.
We have a small talk conversation for half an hour and it's like, well, this was a waste of selling time. Now I need to go back and crush some dials.
Yeah.
And so how did you even like, cause there's so many people, so many of us out there that are just sort of maybe sick and tired of these like coffee meetings in order to try and close. How did you figure out, like, obviously you're making money out of this. So how did you turn this into, how did you even figure this out in the first place?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting because I kind of figured it out through a bit of adversity when I started the business a few years ago, Colin. And I had no website, no CRM, I wasn't using ActiveCampaign. I had no funnels. And I'm like, geez, I've really got to actually get something happening here. So I'd engaged a digital marketing company to create a website for me. Long story short, they went into liquidation kind of halfway through my project, which was getting drawn out. It was getting drawn out for a while. I was like, damn, it's only a basic website. And 6 months, 7 months going by. And then I found out they're having internal struggles and they couldn't get the project out. And I ended up losing, you know, a few thousand dollars from it. And I got a PDF, which was a template as to what the website was going to look like. But during that period, I was like, damn, I don't really have a presence. So what am I going to do here? So I thought, okay, networking, I enjoyed speaking with people. And at the start, as you just mentioned before, Colin, it was all about, well, I better go have this coffee with this person. It's a potential opportunity. Who knows? So, I kept leaving the house. My wife is like, Fabian, where are you going? I said, I've got a few coffee meetings today. She's like, are you actually going to come home with anything? And I'm like, yeah. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity. And I'm like, you never know, babe. First coffee, second coffee, third coffee. And after a while, I'm like, shit, I did a time log and I realized, damn, and I'm spending like 6, 7, 8 hours in a week more on, the meeting itself, the commute there, and the ROI was terrible. I'm like, shit, what am I doing wrong here? And I came across a guy by the name of Michael Griffiths, who created a framework for networking and referral meetings. And I started to implement this framework. And within a couple of months, I generated over 6 figures for the business. No website, still no CRM, still no ClickFunnels. And I had old branding from a logo that I'd got designed on Fiverr or one of those, 99 designs, one of those online portals. And then I started to look at my time. And the interesting thing was that the time that I was actually spending out meeting people had reduced significantly by about 75%. And so I was having less meetings face-to-face in particular, using virtual like Zoom platform that we're on right now. And my revenue is skyrocketing. Whereas beforehand, I was using the model where I think we all just think, you got to hustle, you got to grind, and you got to be out there, you got to be meeting people. And there is an element of truth to that. But then what I'd realized was that there needs to be a strategy to how you do that to make it more effective. If not, you end up being like most, and I hate to say it, because I was there, desperate startup businesses who just think that by going to a networking function, it's going to help them become successful in business.
Mm. I'd say the majority of things that I've gained from a networking function, I'd say the biggest one has been a hangover.
Yeah, true that.
At least the most consistent one, some business cards that I'm going to send an email to the next day.
Yeah.
May or may not respond back.
It's true. That's so true.
It's great to hear when people sort of attend some training or read a book or, buy a course, and then they actually manage to implement it. So talk to me about what this changed, I found a link to Michael Griffiths' referral marketing training. I'm going to throw that link in the show notes if people are interested in checking it out. Yeah. But what changed for you? Like, what was different with what you learned from Michael?
Sure. Well, I suppose the normal process was, we connected on LinkedIn as an example. Hey, dude, similar networks, similar industries, want to catch up, want to hang out? Yeah, cool. Maybe we can help each other grow. Yeah, that's the standard script, if you will. And, you would meet, coffee, and at the end, you'd kind of walk away saying, all right, Colin, well, I might have some people that I can connect you with. And you say, yeah, well, I might be able to too. We never really pitch to each other because there's that awkward moment of, well, do I sell to you? Do you sell to me? And then you walk away and then, time passes us by and you get busy and we forget about that conversation really, unless there was something really interesting that took place. And the framework that I'd learned was an element of the sales process that I actually teach, but it was incorporating the, if you will, the discovery call, the inception call, which is, phase one of my sales process, and utilizing that for an actual, for the actual meeting itself and setting some frameworks and some guidelines on making it more efficient. The interesting thing though, Colin, is that once I started to implement this, there was a little bit of resistance because most people were still operating on the same program that I was doing at the start, which was, Colin, you message me and say, Fabian, let's catch up for a coffee. And I was putting a stop to it and saying, Colin, really love to catch up with you for a coffee and see how we can help each other grow. How about we jump on a really quick call just to flesh out if or how we can help each other. And that way I can best prepare for our meeting if we do meet.
Mm.
And so that was the kind of the frame that I incorporated, which is a frame that I use in my sales process, taking Michael Griffiths, which is his process to actually then structure the meeting And then through that, it's just a qualification call really around, is it worth our time meeting? And then we would go through a series of questions in that call. So that was the biggest shift, but noticing a little bit of resistance at the start because I didn't finesse the way I said it right at the beginning. And so it came a little bit abrupt and people were like, oh, you don't want to meet for a, you want to jump on. Oh, okay. And it was a little bit, there was almost like this awkward moment.
Hmm.
In particular, when I sent my calendar link, I don't know if you've experienced that, but you have a chat with somebody. It's like, hey, dude, here's my calendar link. Find a time that suits you. And then we can jump on a call. And I noticed there was a bit of resistance. So I had to reframe the way I delivered it.
Do you still send the calendar link first?
Not without the frame. You know, but I ran a workshop a couple of weeks ago, sales and marketing workshop, and we had about 30 or 40 people in the room. And when I went through that process, most people in there cringed and said, oh, if you did that to me, Fabian, there's no way I would actually respond. I think you're quite douchey. I was like, wow. I said, really? Why is that? And I said, they've experienced the same. You know, a person reaches out to them on LinkedIn and the first thing that they send them is a link to their calendar. It's like, hey, this is how great I am, or, you know, this is what I can do for you. And here's my calendar, find a time. And so it's kind of repelled people now when they experience the calendar link.
Mm.
So I said to them, well, then, you know, instead of sending your calendar link, then ask the person to send theirs. It's the same thing. Just give them the illusion of power.
Yeah. So we've tried internally at PR. We've tested, you know, sending the calendar link or sending two times and then like, PS, here's my calendar link. And the two times PS, here's my calendar link, has won. We haven't done a full Outbound Labs on it, so stay tuned. It is something we're going to test eventually. Mm-hmm. But I know initially having the calendar link only just anecdotally did very, very poorly because it's, hey, I want like, do me a favor and fill out my calendar. It's sort of like, you're sort of, if there's an equal, like a power level here, it's like, I'm going to pretend to be the more powerful one and say, you do this homework.
Sure.
Whereas when you're saying, hey, can you send me your calendar link, you know, and I'll find a time, then, you know, you're saying, hey, you do that, I'll do the work. Like I'll carry us up the hill. Yeah.
It's true. It's interesting because when you think about it, you know, if I'm sending it to you, you would, you know, I could think that I'm actually helping you. This is beneficial for you because you get to decide any convenient times that are in there, but you're right. Yeah. They have to do the work. And so then the sales process has already begun, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I like it. I think what I currently do is basically I'll pick two times in my calendar and I'll say, here, do either of these times work? And if they don't work, send me your calendar link or here's mine. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw mine in the, like in a PS or something. And I'd say most people either pick one or they'll like say, I'm happy. Like neither of those work. So I just grab one in your calendar.
Yeah. Nice.
We haven't tested that, but that's what I'm working on. That's what I work with right now, but I'm generally not doing too much outbound. Most of my stuff is like people inbounding to me. So I probably have a little bit more leeway.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm wondering you know, we talked about how you figured it out, you know, why should somebody consider, you know, changing the way that they do coffees or coffee meetings?
I think, you know, as the old saying goes, Colin, you know, time is money, as they say. And I think the difference between those that succeed is obviously in their ability to take action, but also to take the right action.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest turning points for myself was when I went through a process of deciding how much revenue I wanted the business to turn over, but more importantly, how much profit I wanted to retain and what I would like my hour to be worth. You know, I'd come to the conclusion, you know, a little while ago that, you know, as a bare minimum, I don't want to be less than $1,000 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to be very careful if I was going to operate on the basis of being worth $1,000 an hour, as an example, if I'm charging that out to a client, et cetera, that I have to be very mindful of where I spend my time, because if I don't get that return, then I'm in fact costing myself income levels. And so with that, it enabled me to level up my thinking and where I allocated my time and be a little bit more direct rather than the young just run around and I'll say yes to everything, you know, say more yeses as an example. And I just came across, you probably heard the quote. I don't know if it was Warren Buffett or somebody like Warren Buffett, whether Ray Dalio mentioned that, you know, successful people have a very common theme of the ability to say no, and extremely successful people say no 99% of the time. And I think, you know, as we move into this entrepreneurial space, we tend to say yes more frequently because of the unknown, because of you never know what's behind that door. And so I think we can take a calculated guess now, a more educated approach to looking at the doors and going, hang on, I think I can probably work out what's behind there before I, you know, before I go knocking.
You know, it's such a good point to reiterate, even if people have heard it a million times. And I've heard a bunch of different versions, and I think I know the one you're talking about. I know there's a version of it that was attributed to Steve Jobs. I don't know if it's Steve Jobs, but it's around product management. It's like product management is saying no to 99% of things and yes to the correct 1%. But I totally agree, because in the early days, when you're just trying to get something, you're just trying to generate some forward momentum. You know, you're looking there, you're either hired into a new territory, you've got a new job, or you've got a pipeline that is non-existent. I will do fucking anything to just get that ball moving. Right. And it's so easy to just go into, okay, spray and pray mode. I'll do whatever I can. I'll do a bunch of coffee meetings. I'll say yes to everything, because you don't know, you haven't figured out, okay, what is this? But as you get busier and busier, if you maintain that attitude, you're never going to break through and get past a certain threshold. You're just going to get stuck in this, I'm just doing whatever I can. And you're never going to lift your head above water. You're just going to drown.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You end up in so many different directions. And, you know, I think it's, I don't know if I've got the book behind me. No, I don't. If it's Richard Keller, the One Thing, you probably read the book, The One Thing. And, you know, so much truth in that, that, you know, when we have the ability to stay in our lane and get very clear, I think, you know, the benefit of like what I went through, it was kind of a forced situation. It was like, well, I had no other means. And if I really wanted to make the business successful, you know, I had two choices. I was either going to make excuses that I couldn't grow the business because I didn't get the web and all the online stuff sorted. I purely just had a Facebook page, to be honest, and just shot some videos. But you know, I chose the latter. I chose to actually just say, well, hang on. I think this, you know, if network marketers can do it as an example and become very successful, with their business model, then it can be the same for every business as well.
Totally. And do you have a way of quantifying the sort of the value this created for you? Do you have a way of measuring how much revenue this generated?
So far to date, I'm well into the six figure mark, multiple six figures. I've got current contracts worth, you know, 150K a year, because of this. I've still got a client from 18. I officially started in January 2017, but it was a few months beforehand where I was kind of fleshing out who I wanted to be, what I wanted to be known for. Mm-hmm. And one of these clients that I worked with that engaged me from the very beginning was through this process. But I actually put a spin on it, and I think your listeners will love this. Very, very intelligent guy, runs a very tight property development company. And he'd been to all the sales trainers, and he's like, when we connected, he said, listen, dude, I've seen one of your videos on Facebook, kind of interested, but I hope you're not a joke like everyone else. He was pretty abrupt. I thought, well, I don't even know if I actually want to work with this guy. He had a decent reputation online. And I said, okay, dude, well, you know, asked him a few questions. So before we meet, let me just find out a little bit more about your situation. I don't even know if I can help you. And so he reeled off a few of the things, and I'm like, okay, I found some gold in here. I said, all right, dude, this is what's going to happen. We're going to meet up. My time is, at this point, it was 90 minutes, $1,500. I said, it's $1,500 for my time. I said, if you get no value in our session together, I said, I won't invoice you, because he still was a bit skeptical. I said, if you get value and you decide not to engage me, I said, I'm going to invoice you for my time. And I said, if you get value and you want to engage me, then I'll incorporate the $1,500 in the package of however long we decide to work together. And that was 18 months ago. And they've spent multiple six figures with our training services. And the return on investment for them was that they finished number one fastest growing property company in Australia for last year, 2018, at 10x, 10 or 12x their revenue, just phenomenal results. 57th fastest growing company Australia wide. So in terms of all industries. So, but there was an element of risk there. He could have abused the fact that he would have got value from the session together, and said that he didn't. And then I walk away, you know, well, And the reality is that it takes at least an hour anyway to pitch somebody. So I was just putting a price tag on it and giving them all the power. So it's a process that I still utilize to this day, which is allowing people that control that element of me coming in to present, and they get to decide.
So if I understand you correctly, it's you sort of transitioned from like just a coffee meetup to we'll do a pre-call and then the actual pitch or, you know, discovery call where you're diving deeper, that's over coffee. And now you're charging $1,500 for that session?
Yeah. So this session was actually at their office. So I just moved straight from not even the need to actually meet for a coffee. And so when we talk about coffees for closers, you know, it's challenging to do business in a coffee shop. You can get a handshake, but to bring out your computer and to have them sign contracts, it doesn't necessarily always happen. So I'd prefer to actually move it, and rather than coffee in a restaurant, as an example, or a coffee shop, why don't we just have coffee at your place of employment? That's where we're going to meet, or my office. Pardon me. So I think strategically around it and go, okay, what's going to be the best environment for me to actually walk away with the business? And it's, you know, the same thing, same process that I utilized when I was in real estate. If somebody wanted to meet me at a particular location and it wasn't their home, the likelihood of me being able to come home with a listing was you know, very, very slim. So you always got to think about the best environment that's going to enable them to make the decision.
Gotcha. And so in this case, you were still following your like coffee for closes methodology. You just recognized that, hey, there's a big opportunity here. They're paying me, so I'm happy to skip that sort of discovery meeting over coffee.
Yeah, well, the initial discovery meeting was over the phone, but I had to change my tune with this client in particular because of, I suppose, the aggressiveness, their approach when I first spoke to them. And so, you know, there was two places I could have gone, which was submissive, obviously, and be, you know, a little bit on the back foot and then try to over deliver, or just tell them this is what my time is actually worth, and I'll let you decide if you think it's actually worth that. Mm-hmm. And so I pitched and presented to three of himself and three of his staff members. And at the end of it, they were kind of, you know, eating out of my hand, asking how soon I could start. And the funny thing on that is that I didn't actually have a program developed at that point. And so that was my largest contract won. I came home to my wife and said, babe, I've just won this fucking contract here. It's worth this much. And I'm like, I don't have a program yet. I had a methodology. I understood how to get people results. And so I built the program as I delivered, which made it very specific for them, which was clear indication of the results that they got. And so, yeah, it was a really, really interesting journey.
All right. So this is something that's for you has generated hundreds of thousands of dollars, fair to say. I'm curious, you know, we talked a little bit about the sort of pre-call, but can you walk me through the framework of how this works?
Sure. So when we're looking at the, I suppose, the networking opportunity, or, you know, if it's cold calling, which however you decide to spin, if you haven't spoken to them, there's really kind of three key areas that we want to identify in the sense of before we get on the call or before we have that meeting. So in the example that I gave before, Colin, around, you know, getting a LinkedIn request and then, you know, if they're both Canadian based or Melbourne based and they want to meet up with you, it's about putting that framework in place, which is, okay, dude, I'm really, really happy to meet you. So setting the excitement around the meeting itself. So before we do that, Colin, is it cool if we just jump on a quick call to flesh out, you know, if or how we can actually help each other, and I can get a little bit more prepared for our meeting. And so people see the value in that. So you jump on a call, and on the call, there's kind of a couple of key things that we want to really look at. We want to find out, you know, that they're not in direct competition with us, obviously. But the five key areas are, if we're looking at either a joint venture or they're going to be a potential client, mindset alignment, value alignment, you know, are they fun and easy to work with? And can you actually help this person? And so if it's from a client perspective, if we're looking at this to try and actually win some business, then, you know, results. Have I worked with this type of person before? Am I experienced? Do I have some credibility in this area? And how confident am I to be able to get them the result? If they're not going to be a client, then the last pillar on that is their networks. do they have a network that I know is actually going to be the perfect audience for me to get in front of or for me to connect with? And so there's the two elements there. You know, sometimes we're just going for the hunt or for the kill because I need a client right now. And Colin, you're, you know, predictable revenue, you're not my client. And so, no, look, dude, I don't think I can help you. But the element here is, okay, well, hang on, who is Colin's audience? And so, Colin, you know, who do you hang out with, dude? Like, where do you spend most of your time? What kind of people do you chill with? And so, you know, very casual. And you say, well, these are the kind of people that I hang with, da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, cool. Well, I don't think I can help you directly, but I might be able to help the people that you know. And so here's who I'm looking for specifically. You know, I'm looking for people that are in the property development space, in the coaching and consulting space, that have teams of, you know, X, Y, Z, and you know, fit your criteria in there. And so it's a very powerful thought process because it allows you to kind of think, you know, expand your thought process on not just looking for the kill and looking for other opportunities behind that person.
Very cool. And so when you're looking at these coffee meetings, it's not purely just, you know, you're not just looking for like a pure close. This is also, this could be a relationship play. This could be a, like a referral kind of play.
Correct. Correct. Yep.
Gotcha.
And so the big one on that then is also, and so far the conversation is really about me and what I'm looking for, but going in with the mindset of what do you need, Colin? What are you actually looking for right now? Mm-hmm. And if you can spend most of the start of the conversation around the other person, then what you'll find is obviously the law of reciprocity. You know, if I've supported you in some way or delved into potentially being able to connect you with a client, with a contract or a provider of whatever you need right now, then the likelihood of you, you know, reciprocating that for me once I start to take you through my little process is through the roof.
Totally. Totally. Okay. And so talk to me about the sources. You mentioned LinkedIn as one of them. Can you talk to me about sort of how you're generating, how you're finding people for these coffees and what, where that's coming from?
Sure. So for the research, I don't know if your listeners are going to be able to see the screen, but I could draw a model on there, but it's simply just a triangle with referral sources on one side and then a conversation structure on the other. And then underneath is the action plan, as in what to do next. But in terms of referral sources, it's kind of looking at, okay, what is the purpose of me doing this process? Like what do I need specifically right now? Well, I need more clients. Okay, great. What kind of clients do I need? So we go through the process of identifying who we actually specifically need. The more specificity we have around who we want, that we have a high probability of finding that person. It's kind of like Where's Wally as an example. Mm-hmm. Like if I told you to just look for Wally without, you know how you could actually see the characters in the top left corner and whatnot, and it tells you what you need to look for. It's a lot easier to find them when you've seen the actual image of it versus if I told you what it was to go and search for it, you'll still find it, but it just takes a hell of a long time. And so what that shows us is that the more visual or the more descriptive we can be over what we're looking for, the easier it is to actually achieve. And so in our realm, you know, who is not in direct competition with us, but has access to the people that we would like to work with. So, you know, accountants as an example could be a great source. If we're looking for B2B type clients, then looking at an accounting firm who might not be in direct competition with a consulting firm who specializes in sales growth, and in finding what is a value proposition that an accountant would want if we were to work together, if it was to be an alliance. And so this is how I'd look at leveraging my database. And so looking at what would be an offer that they would like that would make them actually consider partnering with me as an example. Hmm. And obviously using the power of LinkedIn for the individual clients, it's like, well, now that I've identified that I want to look for property developers as an example, if I was sitting in the boardroom of a property development firm, and this is how I get into the psychology of them, it's like, well, what's their conversations about? What are they needing most right now? And so I think a lot of businesses fail on the sense of, I call you up, Colin, and you know, your train of conversation or train of thought is probably going to be very different to what I'm looking at or what I'm thinking about. And so I come in with, hey, dude, I can help you increase your sales or coach your sales team. And you're like, shit, dude, I don't need that right now. We're looking at, you know, a delivery because we're at capacity. Mm-hmm. And so it's being able to navigate and understand where they're at and kind of coming into the same wavelength as them.
Perfect. And so if I'm thinking about this, it's sort of figuring out your sort of niche on LinkedIn, and not just who your total customer niche is, but who are those sort of potential referral sources, people that have maybe aren't your customers, but have a financial relationship with your customers. They might have a list of people that are your customers. So it's, and again, they're non-competitive.
Correct. Correct. They're non-competitive. They've got an authority. They've got a high level of trust with their clients already. So they could be financial planners, mortgage brokers, as an example, depending on the industries. I think that, you guys specialize a lot in the SaaS. So, technology platforms, obviously, they've got the recurring business model. And so we know that there's a lot of these businesses already established within SaaS type organizations. So it's looking at, okay, well, who isn't a competitor of ours that we could potentially leverage off? And this is, to be able to get in a lot faster than the traditional route.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so basically, if I'm following the process, it's figure out who you need to, like, who are your potential referral sources. Mm-hmm. Hit them up on LinkedIn with that sort of soft ask messaging. Just, hey, wanted to connect, see if we can do business together. Once they respond, then you're like, hey, great, let's do a coffee. Before we do, why don't we do just take 10 minutes and make sure that the coffee is going to be productive?
Sure. That's one aspect, definitely. If you're looking for a client on LinkedIn though, and for those that are listening, they've probably tried something similar, going, you know what, that didn't work for me. I didn't really get many responses. And there's truth to that. I think the power lies in the ability to have really good case studies. And so if you've worked with a particular industry, i.e. mine one as a property developer, as an example, I've got a case study now. Mm-hmm. And so all I need to do to win more business is, if I reached out to you as a property developer, I say, hey, Colin, I noticed you're in the property development space. I too work in that space, although not in competition with you. In fact, I've recently worked with a company very similar to yours, and we helped them go from X to Y. Might not be that interesting for you, but I thought you might want to take a look at this case study below, where you can actually find out how we did it. Mm. And if you're interested to chat about it, then maybe we can jump on a quick call. Cheers. And if you've set up the case study through a video format, either through Loom or a software, tracking software, then you'll actually find out when they've clicked on the link and if they've watched it, which gives you the trigger to then notify them and say, hey, dude, I noticed that you've watched the case study video, or at least clicked on the link. Did you find some value, or what value did you find through the process?
Very cool. What tool did you say you were using for that? Loom?
So Loom. So I was fortunate enough to present to like 5,000 or 6,000 people virtually through a mortgage broking aggregate here in Australia. And when I got connected to the person, straight away, she said to me, big organization. They're huge. One of the biggest mortgage broking aggregates here in Australia. And she's like, just send me off some of your stuff and we'll consider you for one of our monthly mentorship virtual webinars. And I was like, all right, okay. So how am I going to do this in a way where if she's interviewing, God knows, 20, 30 people, how am I going to separate myself? So I actually filmed a Loom video and presented some of my frameworks, my modules. Mm-hmm. And said to her, this is what my modules do, and this is the result that it gets them. And based on your industry in particular, I would deliver these two modules in the allocated time, which would mean this is the kind of outcome that your audience would probably receive from it. If that's really valuable, let me know. Either way, you can see what the other pillars are all about as well. One of them might be of more interest for you guys. I'm not sure where you're at. And I sent that off, and within about 3 days, I'd seen that they clicked on the link, and it tells you how many times they've viewed it. And it was watched about 3 or 4 times. And then not long after, I got an email back saying, hey, dude, we've locked you in for September and we want you to speak on these three themes. And so I thought, wow, this is kind of a virtual semi-proposal, if you will, that was very specific and tailored to them, which clearly separated me from everyone else that was pitching for that opportunity.
Cool. All right. So the tool loom.com, if anybody's looking to check
it
out.
Yeah.
Cool. So if we come back to the Coffee for Closers framework, it's basically, it's the sort of the research, figuring out, okay, who is it that that we're targeting. It's, you know, the pre-call. So once we, it's the sending them a message, you know, whether it's LinkedIn, email, et cetera, but typically it sounds like you're doing a lot of this on LinkedIn, you know, asking for a coffee meeting. Once they agree, say, hey, great, let's do, before we jump into the coffee, let's do a quick 10 minutes. Now let's fast forward to, okay, we're on the pre-call. What are you asking? What kind of questions are you asking them on that pre-call?
Sure. So typically I try to set the frames in there, which is, things like, you know, I've got a really loose framework for conversations like this. Really what I want to do is be able to find out a little bit more about your situation to see if or how I can actually help you. So things like, you know, what you need most right now, you know, where's your business at? Where would you like it to be? And if there was somebody in particular that I needed to introduce you to, you know, who would that be? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, straight away I'm putting it onto them and they start to share, well, you know, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for more clients. Okay, great. What kind of clients? And we just qualify to see what they're looking for and what does your business need most right now? And again, who can I introduce you to? And so that starts to be very specific. And through that conversation, I'm starting to identify the type of mindset this person has on the basis of how they're responding. I'm exploring some of their values as well. And, you know, so things like understanding what their business mission is and what their objective is, like, you know, why are you really doing what you do, Colin? And so this can show you whether there's some really good alignment, because whilst, you know, you might have the context that I want, there might be a disalignment in our values and therefore the relationship is not really going to flourish or potentially be one-sided. And so it might not be a relationship that we want to really explore and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really just about identifying that and then moving in with, okay, cool. So repeating what they've said and what they're looking for, and then going into the aspect of, well, actually, can I help this person? Firstly, from a client perspective, or give them what they're looking for. Can I connect them with anybody? And is there an opportunity there? And for me, it's at that point identifying, saying, you know what, Colin, based on what you've said so far, I think we both would extremely benefit from meeting together. Let's book that in. And here's what I'm going to do prior to that meeting. You mentioned that this is the kind of person that you're looking for. This is the kind of thing that you need right now. I'm going to do a little bit of research or potentially, you know, bring that into our next meeting. And if it's okay with you, would you mind having a look at this or whatever it is that I'm actually needing out of that relationship?
Gotcha. So you're digging for, here's how I can help. I'm trying to make connections. I'm trying to find potential customers of mine or people on my list or people I know where I can sort of make those referrals and make those introductions. And then you're asking them to do the same.
Sure. Yep.
Cool. And now you've booked the coffee meeting. So now we've both showed up to the coffee meeting. What happens next?
So the coffee meeting, I tend to veer away from the full rapport. I suppose the older techniques, which still have some relevancy, I believe, but really about appreciating that time is money. And so setting it up very early in the piece, which is, you know, Colin, I want to make this meeting as efficient and effective as possible. And so if it's okay with you, we've allocated 30 minutes, whatever the time slot is. I tend to not go over an hour, depending on if it's going to be a pitch, if we've identified in that prequel that we're going to probably potentially work together, and set the time frame around, you know, 30 minutes, let's do our best to keep the time. And if we feel as though that we need to continue on because it's going to be important for both of us, then we can do that. If not, we'll reschedule another time. And at that point, it's really, now that you've got some groundwork, you're not walking into this meeting completely cold without really any, you know, you're trying to work shit out on the spot. There's some pre-work done, which means that you've already formulated some form of a strategy or a concept or an idea or a couple ideas. And then it's really about putting that together. So if you're a potential client of mine, it's ensuring that I'm taking you through one of the sales processes that I teach, which is going through some of the frameworks around, you know, the ability for us to have an open and honest conversation. So my theory is go deep and go wide as soon as possible in the conversation. And by being upfront, which is, you know, Colin, I really need to have an open and honest conversation with you in order for me to serve you at the highest level. Is that okay? And, I really need to understand as much as I can within the short time frame that we have. And so we may go deep and fast. And if you're going to be a potential client of mine, I'm going to give you the courtesy of letting you know that we may touch on things that might raise a level of discomfort for you. And I just wanted to check in and make sure that that's cool. And so that's if I need to take you through the sales process and open you up around, you know, pain points and where your money's at, where your rev's at, what your life is like. then I want to set the context that that may be happening, because I want to increase the likelihood of me being able to close the deal then and there.
Gotcha. And so it's almost like a trial close. It's like you're asking permission to really dig deep, and you're letting them know, like, hey, this is going to be, if this is a sales call, this is going to be painful.
The possibility of pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And cause yeah, look, there might be, but it's really important to also let them understand that there's going to be a series of questions. You know, the consultative sales process, as an example, is just a series of questions. People feel it and see it coming, and it can become very irritable. And so letting people know that, hey, I might ask you a bunch of questions, and this might sound like a friendly interrogation up front, actually reduces the resistance on the call. And really important to throw the baton back to them as well during the conversation. It's like, you know what, Colin, I've asked you a bunch of questions right now. I've got a fairly good understanding of where you're at and what you need. I've asked you a heap of questions right now. Why don't you go ahead and ask me some questions? And typically what happens at that point, the person says, well, yeah, okay. So now that you've worked out a little bit about me, how can you help? Or what do you think? And so they instantly throw the baton back to you, which then means that you start to lead the conversation again.
Perfect. So if I could summarize really shortly, it'd be open, like with a very candid introduction, letting them know, hey, if this goes well for me, there's going to be pain for you, right? Because you're experiencing pain. That's why you're willing to spend some of your dollars to fix that. Then you dig into your qualifying questions where you're really digging for that pain. Then you flip it back to them without any sort of recommendations. You're saying you ask all the qualifying questions and say, you know what? I've asked a lot. Why don't I flip it back to you? You know, what did you want to know? And then they'll, because there's that sort of curiosity, you haven't made a recommendation. They're going to say, well, what do you think? Like, what do you think about us? Can you help us? And now you're just answering their question as opposed to telling them, here's how I can help.
Exactly. You're opening up the window.
You sly dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it works wonders. It's a very beautiful process when delivered properly. But I think the biggest element is the genuine authenticity at the very beginning, which is just surfacing everything up front. I can't remember the name of the author, but Never Split the Difference. I'm not sure if you've read or listened to that. Oh, but yeah. So you know, he's got
Chris Voss, I think.
That's it. Yeah, that's it, Chris Voss. You know, he's got the concept of bring everything out at the start, you know, take the hits out, pull all the objections out nice and early, and therefore there's no surprises at the end. Mm-hmm. I think in the context that we're talking about right now is really, as a human being, is just really appreciating the fact that every minute that we spend, Colin, we just don't fucking get it back, man. We just don't. And we piss fart around so much, wasting people's time, wasting our own time. And I think if we can come in with that intention of, hey, dude, we may never see each other again, and you're not going to get these minutes back, nor am I. Let's fucking make the most of it.
Yeah.
I think really people feel that and they start to realize, shit, this guy means business. This guy's a good operator.
For sure. I got to say, Never Split the Difference is one of my favorite sales, but not a sales book. Mm. It's had a huge impact. We make our whole, I get everybody on our rev team to read it. I'm a huge fan of the accusation audit that sort of, because I'll jump in on sales calls every now and then. And I'm like, hey, listen, in this context, I'm a salesperson. So take what I say with grains of salt. And just like getting that out in the open, I find it's just like, hey, I'm admitting that I'm obviously trying to sell you some stuff here. So my opinions are tainted. And it's like, okay, so think about that. Now what I'm going to tell you is true. And you should believe 100% what I say.
So good.
I love that book. So how do we make this, so coming back to the coffee meeting, so we've done the pre-call, we've ran through the questions, we're at the coffee, we ran through the questions, we flipped it back to them. How do we make this actionable, right? Like how do we close out this coffee meeting and say, okay, here are the next steps?
Sure. So there's a couple ways to do it depending on the context. If they're agreeable at that point and it's quite clear from a business perspective that you can actually help them and they can see that too, very quickly when we explain what we do or how we help people, we simply just weave into obviously their pain points and their frustrations and then just map out the journey. So it's really important to actually create an action plan at that point, which is an actionable thing, which is the things that I need to do right now, the things that you need to do right now. And are we clear on that? Does that make sense? Is there anything else that we're missing? And so here's what we're going to do if it's from an enrollment perspective. All right, Colin, well, we need to get you set up in our system, and there's going to be a process for that, which means you're going to get onboarded. So the first thing that you need to focus on right now is, you know, I'm starting to take your details. I want to check your business name and just those priorities there, mailing address, and then we just move straight into the credit card details for the initial down payment or however your payment structure's worth. And it's always, you know, let's get the skin. That is at the point where if you've done the process effectively, there's typically no resistance. If there is, they're like, oh, well, hang on a minute, I didn't realize I was going to say, okay, well, you know, and if you've done the qualification process properly, then it's, you know, I use a frame called I'm confused or concerned or, you know, we have a problem. And so if you raise an objection, it's like, well, Colin, I'm a little bit confused. You said this is where your business was at. This is where you want it to go. This is what's getting in the way. And this is how much it's costing you. We've been able to identify a solution here right now that's far less than what it's actually currently costing you, but you're not sure. What am I missing right now? And okay, so that throws it back onto them and they say, oh, well, yeah, shit. That is what I said. That is what it's costing me. We've got a solution here. Obviously, the solution has to have a pretty strong guarantee. And so for mine, as an example, is that if I can't get a business an ROI, they don't pay me a cent, or I work with them for free until they do. And so, you know, the risk mitigation aspect is really low for them. It's like, well, okay, we are going to get a free contractor for however long it takes until we get an ROI, or we can get our money back. Like, yeah. And the clause on the money back isn't within the first fortnight, but then the guarantee about ROI, that's the life of our contract together. And so, you know, some people trial this close, but they don't realize that their guarantee is quite weak and it's not, it still doesn't mitigate any risk. And at that point we close, we just get them set up and then we put an action plan in place. So what are the things that they actually need to do right now? So, you know, is there any collateral that they need to give me? Is there any, you know, documents, et cetera. And then we get them set up into the system pretty quickly and we take them through our onboarding process.
Cool. One of the things that I always love about listening to podcasts with guys like yourself is I get to hear sort of how people close. I'm getting like little hints of how you handle objections. Mm-hmm. And I remember starting out in sales. There was none of this. Like mm-hmm. I had to listen to the guy who sat next to me, who was not the greatest salesperson, but you know, you're just trying to learn like, okay, well, how does he close? How does she close? What mm-hmm. words are they using? And like, I'm not saying, hey, everybody go rip off Fabian's script, but 100% copy and paste what he did, what he's saying, and try for yourself and then make it your own, right? This is how we add to our arsenal.
Exactly. Life is about copy and paste. An old mentor of mine said that to me years ago. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, man, it is. He goes, you know, every thought that you're thinking has probably been thought before. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just don't try and reinvent the wheel. Just put your own spin on it, dude. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing is even close to original. Yeah. And you think about I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talking and it was something like there are more, I'm going to butcher it, but basically he's like, there's like a piece of a dinosaur in every droplet of water that you're drinking. Right. And like, there's a piece of Picasso or like molecules that were in Picasso in every drop of water that you're drinking. And I was like, oh, and he did the math and he sort of, I'm not going to be able to spit it out, but it's like, there's more molecules in a droplet of water than there are like human beings or sort of in the, you know, crazy dinosaurs that ever existed. And there's more in a single drop of water. So it's like, okay, well, nothing is really original. I'm probably just, repeating all these other ideas that other people have thought. So really, why bother or why worry about, you know, plagiarizing or copy pasting, because we're all very similar.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true.
Cool, man. So one last question, then we want to get to the lightning round here. So how do we keep this going, right? This sounds like a really great flywheel for generating some business for yourself. How do you keep it going?
Mm-hmm. Just making sure that every single day I'm doing some level of activity around, you know, either generating new business or making sure that the pipeline is full. And so, you know, from a delivery perspective, as you guys would be familiar down with what you guys do, there's one thing to land a client, but then as the business owner, there's the element of delivery, which tends to take up most of your time. And so it's just really forecasting, you know, the time that's required, what resources am I going to need, and ensuring that I'm doing some level of activity every day, whether it be on social media, connecting with people, setting up my weeks ahead. And I learned that the hard way in real estate. I'd only ever work our bonus structure was set every quarter, so every quarter we would get paid out, and I would have a lull at the start of the quarter and a kind of lull at the end, and I would have this 6 week period where I'd work really, really hard and get all my listings and sales, and then I'd just take the foot off the gas, and then I'd go into the new quarter going, damn, I look at my calendar and I've got no yellow bookings, which was, my appointments. And then I'd be this hustle. I was like, fuck. When I look back at my year, although it was successful, I'd worked out that I was only ever working 6 months of the year.
Mm.
And I was like, hmm. And in that 6 months, I was working hard. And I was like, I haven't got this formula right here. And so I was prioritizing the sale and then the delivery. And I wasn't actually working out the balance of every single day. There should be an element of prospecting regardless of the delivery component. And then I just continually set up the pipeline, which meant that I didn't have to work at 110% capacity. I would just maintain a 75 or 80% capacity, which was better for me emotionally, which enabled me to maintain, maintain my emotions in an industry that was just fueled with, everything, drama,
Yeah. Yeah. I love the, just consistently, it's just a little bit of prospecting every day, and the lumpy quarters go away.
Mm.
I wish if I could tell my 21-year-old self one thing, it would be that. Hey, asshole, it doesn't matter if you hit your quota in Q2. If you hit your quota for the year in Q2, you might get fired if you still don't haven't closed anything by Q3, Q4.
Yeah. Like my old boss used to say, you're only as good as your last sale, Fabian. Don't let a pat on the back turn into a massage. And I was like, shit.
You guys have the best sayings down there. I love it. Beautiful, man. I really want to thank you so much for your time. Before we call this a close, I want to move to the lightning round. You're a guy that's got tons of knowledge, so I want to get as much of it as we possibly can. So I got a couple questions here for you, and let's dive in. So how do you get people to answer your emails?
First, you got to send them. But if it's a cold email, look, they're challenging, of course. But the more specific, so the more pre-work you can do, because I believe there's no such thing as a cold email anymore. You can get some information of the person that you want to fire it off to. The more specific that you can make it direct about, whether you'd notice their website, where you'd notice there's a mutual connection through LinkedIn, putting some form of a reference in there that increases the likelihood. Or as my example earlier, a quick Loom video of, hey, Colin, predictable revenue, Fabian here from Pato Consulting. And now it's an email, but it's actually a video email. And so, and just being specific as possible. Sometimes short and sweet too. There's a spear email campaign that I send off, no signature. And it's like, one I sent off a couple of months ago, I had 100 responses. I don't have a huge database, mind you, because I didn't start the CRM stuff till 12 months after I started my business. And off that, I think, I got a ton of emails back, which was, hey, Colin, do you have the capacity to take on more clients now? Cheers, Fabian. And my emails just got ping, 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 ping. Yes, I do, Fabian. Why? Do you have somebody for me? Or yes, why? Or why do you ask? And then the dialogue began.
Wow. No signature, no nothing. Just do you have the capacity to take on?
Do you have the capacity to take on more clients now, Colin? Cheers, Fab. That was it. Well, no signature.
If you are listening, steal this email template and let me know how it works out for you. I'm gonna do the exact same thing, probably word for word.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if let's say we send the cold email, they answer, we book a meeting. Now we're dialing them because they didn't respond back. Mm-hmm. We're cold calling them, they're giving us the brush off. How do you handle that?
For me, it's a game. And, in real estate, I used to get the door slammed on my face all the time, called certain names. And I started to realize that I need to flip the script. And so what I started doing was having my back to the person when they opened the door. So they started to interrupt me rather than me interrupting them, even though I rang the doorbell. And they're like, hello. I'm like, oh, sorry. I was just admiring your garden. And so I'd use a joke typically, which was like, oh, look, I was just walking past your house and I heard some birds in the tree and I overheard these birds talking. And they said, the lady at 21 Jump Street, she's actually thinking of selling her home. Now, obviously, I'm a real estate agent, as you can tell by my outfit. And I thought, well, I can't let this opportunity pass by. Maybe they're telling the truth. And in this example, actually, this perfect example, the lady, she starts laughing and she's like, well, it wouldn't be those birdies because I've been feeding them for the last 22 years. And I said, oh, maybe they said 22. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it was an icebreaker and we got into conversation and she ended up giving me the lay of the land of the whole street. Well, you know, Jenny across the road, she's probably going to sell because she's 90 now. And so I was just taking notes. I thought this is perfect. But in the context of a cold call, look, it's going to happen. So I take the hit early. And I use a frame called the strange frame. And so you've never spoken to you before. It's like a new answer. It's like, it's two things, strange, and I speak in a tone that it's like I've spoken to that person before. Colin, hey, Colin, man, it's Fabian here from Pato Consulting. Dude, this may sound like a really strange call. And then I pause. And then they go, oh, so if Fabian, oh, from, oh, okay, yeah, okay. And all of a sudden, intrigue levels opened up. And I then move into, depending on the type of client or whatever I'm looking for, I came across your profile, Colin, and I noticed that we actually have some mutual connections. And when I looked at your profile, I also observed that you're in a similar industry to mine, although we're not really in direct competition. And I was wondering whether you'd be interested to have a chat about a potential strategic partnership, insert a key word, a key phrase at that point, that I think could be really, really beneficial for obviously not only yourself, but me. And they lean into that and we dance at that point. So it's just really being able to navigate the first 3 seconds, as you know. So let's shut off the fight flight response and open up the intrigue. That's.
Do you also try just starting with having your back to the phone? Pretend to be surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Well, you could do it in the phone sense, which is, pretending that the line's really flaky. Can you hear me on the other side? Hello. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear? And then, you can kind of.
now you've got past those first couple of seconds and.
Yeah.
I'm going through a tunnel. It's like, I can see you're calling from a landline. All right. Last question. So what do you do when you need to push at the end of the quarter?
Just get clear, man. Just get very, very clear. Get back to normally when we've lost our way, it's because we've, stopped focusing on the result or the outcome that we're hoping to achieve. And it's really just the ability to break down your quarter into what needs to happen on a daily basis. And we can only handle one deal at a time in the sense of, we can only close one at a time. And so really just keep collecting those coins like Sonic does in the game. And just, whatever days I have left, if I've got 7 days left and I need to adjust my quota because it's no longer realistic for whatever reason, then I make the necessary adjustment and then I break that down and go, okay, well, where's my next sale? Who's my next person that I can help?
I love that. You're always sort of going after something that's realistic, something that you can hit as opposed to this monumental cliff, even if it's, so if I'm in a rep, I can do this myself by saying, okay, well, this is my quota. Maybe I am behind on this. And I was, whatever the reason was, I'm only going to be able to hit this amount of it. So this is my internal quota and I'm going to try and crush that, even if it's not the whole quota, just so you're giving yourself something smart and achievable.
Definitely. And the challenge with my salespeople, Colin, and you'd probably be familiar with this is we're the superstars, we're the quarterbacks most of the time and we make everything about us. And, so when you look at your quota on the board and you're like, shit, I'm not there yet. And it becomes self-serving rather than, the serving of others. And so my frame for those that I coach is really about, who can you go and help today? Just put your energy into the next person that you can actually genuinely serve. And as a consequence, your intention will be felt from the other person rather than shit, I need to drop another 100K, in the next 3 weeks. And you're looking at that person like a dollar sign. And, we used to call it commission breath back here in real estate days. And people feel you, man. People feel you. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. I have a slightly different way of looking at it. And I think of the, I can't think of the name of the name of the artist, but it's the, the line is you never count your money while you're sitting at the table. Like there'll be time enough accounting when the day is done. And it's like no one to hold them, no one to fold them. I can't remember the.
Yeah, I love
totally,
it.
Totally drawn a blank. But I would just always remind myself, like when you're in the meeting, is like, don't be like the absolute worst thing I can do is think about, oh, this is going to be X dollars on my commission check. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you're thinking about that, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for a time. We got one last segment called the cold call me segment. So before we wrap it up, who you're cold calling me, who are you, who, what role am I playing in this cool. role play here?
I forgot that this was something that we're going to do, to be honest. So this will be random as hell.
Do you want to take a time out and pause, or are you good to just keep going through?
Look, we'll just roll with it, man. We'll just roll with it. Like this is the nature of life, man. Things are unexpected sometimes. And I think the ability of salespeople or, you know, conversation experts is the ability to just dance when it rains. Yeah,
totally.
So, okay. So in this scenario, let's just assume that I'm actually looking to work with you guys, as a business, I suppose.
Sure.
Engaging myself or my services, you know, coming in and teaching my sales processes as an example. So pre-game, so to give the listeners context, I've identified, you know, what you do, your role at the organization. I've also identified that there's another business owner and potential, at least two more potential decision makers. There's at least two I know based on my limited research or whatnot. And so, you know, you're a salesperson, so your number's displayed somewhere online. We all want to be accessible. Yep. So it's easy to get to the source, and that should help others out there. There's normally a phone number somewhere floating around of the person you're trying to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. So let's roll with that. You're one of the key decision makers. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Colin, my man. It's Fabian here from Pato Consulting. Dude, this may sound like a really, really strange call.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Man, I came across your profile on LinkedIn and you're at Predictable Revenue. That's right.
Yeah, that's me.
Awesome, dude. I also noticed that you guys are in Canada. I'm all the way down here in Australia. You can probably tell by my accent. Mm. As I said at the start, man, this may sound a little bit strange, but I did notice that we actually have quite a few mutual connections on LinkedIn, and I thought it'd be worthwhile reaching out to you. Just last week, we came out of our weekly boardroom meeting and we were identifying potential strategic partners. And what we came across was you guys as an organization as potentially being a great fit for a strategic partnership. Are you guys interested in actually having a chat about how we could potentially help you, not only with your business and its growth, but ours as well?
I'm not really sure. Partnerships are challenging. What did you have in mind? Why don't you give me
sure. Yeah, for sure, man. So obviously you've got a business partner. I've noticed, and I don't recall his name. I'm getting out of script here, but your business partner, what's your business partner's name?
Aaron Ross.
Aaron Ross. I noticed that you and Aaron work closely together, but it was around the development of your sales team. I know that you guys work and set up remote sales teams as well. And I've noticed that it seems as though that you guys do a little bit of work here in Australia. Are you guys interested in seeing how you can expand here in Australia and gain a little bit more market share?
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about more customers.
Fantastic. Awesome, dude. Well, that was the conversation. That was actually what it was going to be about. I'd love to show you how we could potentially help you break into some more markets here in Australia. When would be a great time for us to chat? I know that you probably don't have Aaron's calendar up right now, but if I was to shoot through some more information to give you a little bit more context, could we perhaps set up a quick meeting to see if or how this would actually work?
I think that sounds great. And cool, dude. Make it hard to say no to with that. This is going to be a strange call frame. I was mm-hmm. like trying to think of how do I object to this? It's like, yeah. No, yeah. But I really like it, man. I'm definitely going to try it out. And
do you know where I got it from?
Where's that?
I had a guy ring me from Adelaide years ago. Well, I just started in sales and it's older gentleman. And he's like, oh, is this Fabian? He's like, Fabian, this may sound like a really strange call. I was like, right. And he's like, do you work in real estate? And I said, yes. And he's like, do you have this kind of license? And he started reeling off some real not private, but he's like, did you travel to France in 2011 with Qatar Airways? It was just this random shit. I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, right. He said, I did say at the start, this would be a strange call, but I'm ringing from Adelaide, another city. Mm-hmm. And I have a USB in my hands that actually has a lot of your details in here, your real estate license, a ticket to France from Qatar Airways and da 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 da. And he's like, there was an incident. I run a Presbyterian church and a bag had been stolen, but then was found at the back of our church and your USB was in there. Have you traveled to Adelaide recently? I'm like, last time I was in Adelaide was like 3 years ago. And what I found out was a friend of mine who had my USB, which had some music on there, but all these files of mine, was doing a job in Adelaide, and his place that he was renting got broken into. The bag ended up there. This guy calls me, and it was just so weird. But I never forget how he had me, even though he wasn't trying to sell me. He was just setting a frame and expectation, so he knew it was going to be like really random, and I probably would have thought this guy's just pulling my leg. And so I was able to grab that from that scenario and utilize it in the cold calling space. So
that's amazing. I thought the whole time up until like he had my USB, I was like, how is this guy getting this data? If this is a cold call, he's a fucking master.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
That's beautiful. I love how you're just pulling this like knowledge from every aspect of your life. I love it, man. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, dude.
If people are interested, it's Fabian Consulting. You do the $1 million converter stuff. If they're interested in checking out you, your courses, if they just want, ask you a question or hit you up, or they got, want to know more about your process that we talked about today, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Sure, dude. Via email, of course, info@patauconsulting. So that's PATAUDconsulting.com. I've also got the website, which is patauconsulting.com, where you can find out a little bit more about my $1 million converter program. It's a 90-day sales transformational program where we cover the 7M methodology, which is a methodology that I teach, going through the mind, message, market methodology, and money, mission, meaning. It's a virtual program that's delivered worldwide. And so, so you can find out a little bit about that online. Shoot me a DM on Facebook as well. So, Fabian Patau on Facebook, you can shoot me a DM and happy to have a chat with anyone that might need some support.
Beautiful. Fabian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Legend. Thanks so much, Colin. Really appreciate it, my man.
Right on, man.
It's been great.
See everybody next week.